Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Pleased to welcome to the podcast for the first time Chris Burke, one of the top hitters in the history of the Southeastern Conference, now covering this great sport of college baseball for the SEC Network. And Chris, I want to get you to answer like a cliched kind of question to start here. We always talk about the start of the season, and you know, it's cold here in the South. Is pitching always ahead of hitting at the start of the season because of the weather? And when the weather warms up, that's when the bats start get going?
You know, that is very cliche. I think it's generally true. I think some of that depends on what your roster composition is and who you're facing. But I tell you what, a ton of it has to do with the weather, right? And we you know, we start this crazy college baseball ride in the middle of February, which every year everybody thinks that's crazy, including those of us who love it to death, because it is crazy. But you know, it feels a little stuck where it is, even though I do think maybe there's some momentum for the 1st of March. But you and I both know the NCAA has way bigger fish to fry right now.
We can let them slide a little season. While on baseball. Yes. They got other problems. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, and those of us that make our hay in the Southeast aren't as concerned about it as those in the Midwest and the Northeast. So, you know, but weather does impact offense early for sure.
So when we talk about the top hitters in the SEC this season, and I think some of them play here in Starkville, who are the guys that you have an eye on that you think these could be your you know, batting champion, home run guys this year in the SEC?
Well, it's a really talented list. Mike Rooney and I were doing a podcast the other day on what I call the fake season, which is the pre-conference. You know, everybody's podcasts like yourself, and I'm a part of it just as well. We love stuff to talk about. We're so geeked up for the start of the season,
right?
You know, that we want to dive into it, right? And we start where I get a kick out of is when we start giving awards. Like, wait, you don't call it awards; they're predictions,
yeah.
Right? So when you start calling them awards, that's fake. That's a false reality, because you can't win anything until you've done something in live games. That being said, there is a ton of talent in the Southeastern Conference coming back. Some guys that, and to be fair to all the fake awards, they're generally based on guys that have already produced at a high level the year before. Ace Reese would be one of the guys that, you know, we would all put in that conversation. And last year, to me, I was kind of beating the drum for Ace Reese late in the season because he was so good. Mm-hmm. In conference play, I mean, his SEC numbers were startling, really, this year. And to me, the excitement around a player that, you know, played that well in conference play as a sophomore, when, you know, the team was rallying to try to make the tournament, and he was clearly had a bullseye on his back, and obviously, you know, they were winning. Let's be honest. They were winning with offense for the most part. I just think that bodes very well for a kid moving forward. So, you know, if you're looking for preseason player of the year predictions, Ace Reese would certainly – he'd certainly be on that list. I mean, he's the type of kid that could play at that kind of level because he just – you know, he's already proven it, right? I mean, he hit .402 in SEC play last year. And I think his OPS was – what was his OPS? I got it right here in front of me. 1344. 15 homers and 12 doubles in SEC play. Yeah, it was obscene. you know, I think you could make a strong argument. He was the hitter of the year in the conference. You know, Eva Loy ended up being the player of the year. Mm-hmm. So anyway, a lot to be excited about with Mississippi State in general, but specifically Ace Reese.
Let's talk about a couple of teams here in the conference, and we'll start with your alma mater. I've given everybody the disclaimer. I am a diehard Giants fan, so okay. I'm very excited about Tony Vitello coming to San Francisco. I think it's something that is different, and the Giants kind of needed to be different. But what does it mean for Tennessee? Mm-hmm. What does year one for Josh Elander look like in Knoxville?
I think it's going to be fascinating. I mean, you know, another thing Rooney and I have kicked around, you know, about 1,000 times, which is the impact of losing a presence like Tony Vitello. You can't act like that doesn't have an impact. It's going to be felt, and it is felt, I'm sure, every single day on Tennessee's whole campus, not just, you know, like Tennessee played a home basketball game last night. If Tony Vitello was the head coach, he'd have been at the game. Mm-hmm. And they would have shown him on TV. Heck, they might have even interviewed him. You know, that's how kind of famous mm-hmm. he had become. And so you don't create that kind of presence and then leave and not have it be felt. So all that said, that doesn't mean their baseball team is going to suffer, but their baseball program will be a little less sexy, so to speak. It'll be a little less buzzworthy, I think, just because – Tony was just a classic kind of bigger than the sport personality where love him or hate him, you talked about him and you watched him, which is really weird. In college baseball, we don't – I mean, you know, Ron Polk is about as famous as any college baseball coach ever, maybe outside of Skip Bertman. But, like, I don't know, Brian. You tell me, how many people have Ron Polk jerseys?
Not a ton, yeah. Not a ton.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there, but, like, not – whereas, like, number 22 Vitello was the most bought jersey on Tennessee's campus. So it's just a weird deal. That, you know, again, I've said that being said, I think twice now, he left a really good team and they are very talented. Maybe not as quite as proven, maybe not as many certainties as teams in past, but I do think they'll be very good. I think, you know, they bring back Tegan Coons and Brandon Arvidsson are probably two of the pitchers off of last year's roster that they need to make big jumps. And then Evan Blanco and Landon Mack, two transfers that they're expecting a ton out of. And if those four guys pitch the way they think they can, I think they'll be plenty good on the mound. And then with the bat, you got Henry Ford, one of the few transfers that Brian O'Connor didn't get to come with him from Virginia, which is interesting because he's a Tennessee kid. And so I think that must have had a lot to do with it. So he goes to Tennessee. Levi Clark's a returning bat that they're expecting a lot of. Reese Chapman's a guy that was kind of up and down last year, but there's huge upside. And then I think a name to watch for on that roster that has the potential to be a really, really high impact is Blaine Brown. So write that name down, transfer from Rice. I don't know how much he's going to pitch, but he's up to 97, 98 left-hander on the mound. And then it's like big time raw power with the bat. So he's kind of projected as maybe the DH to start. But that's a name to watch for, is somebody that maybe isn't a household name, but could be 2 months from now.
So State's last home series of the year is going to be against Auburn. Auburn is a program under Butch Thompson. I feel like they're very feast or famine. They're either in Omaha or they're struggling to make it to the SEC tournament. I know it's different now that they're bringing everybody. But what is this Auburn team going to be this year? Are they going to be closer to those great teams that Butch Thompson has had, or are they going to struggle a little bit this year?
Well, it's funny. It's funny that you went there. Mike Rooney, my partner in crime on our podcast, is like very bullish on Auburn. And in a world of so much transferring and turnover, Auburn has arguably the most stable returning lineup in the league. I mean, Chase Frelick and Chris Rimbert and Eric Guevara and Bob Terrell, Lucas Steele, Cade Ballude, like they returned so many players that made significant impact on last year's team. So you feel very good about the offense. The flip side is, you know, the three returning guys that are supposed to be right in the middle of what they're doing pitching-wise, Griffin Graves and Andreas Alvarez and Jackson Sanders. Like, these dudes didn't do a ton last year. And then there's, you know, a transfer from Michigan State, a transfer from Virginia Tech. So it's like, as much as you love the offense and as much as you believe in what they return offensively, to me, the pitching staff has the equal amount of question marks. So I would be less bullish on Auburn. But the track record of Butch Thompson figuring things out on the mound and the stability of the lineup would make me be a buyer on them being a, you know, certainly a top 25 team. I'm just not certain they're a top 10 team right now.
And then, you know, Mississippi State and Ole Miss always connected at the hip. The Rebels last year bounced back from back-to-back terrible seasons, were a host, probably should have advanced to the Super Regional round, but they were unfortunate against Murray State there in Oxford. What do the Rebels look like this year? Is Mike Bianco got that program back to where it's supposed to be?
Gosh, what a great question. I mean, they did lose a lot. I mean, Mitchell Stanford and Judd Uedemark being gone is not
the world's tallest second baseman.
Yes, the you know, Travis Kelce playing second base. just a presence like very few. And so, you know, you just don't replace that. There's no way to replace that. Now, like every SEC team, and I'll just say, Brian, like, this is the part that fascinates me about the SEC. You know, in football and even in basketball, I don't know how many schools, if you got their athletic director behind closed doors, you'd say, would they say, yes, we're trying to win the national championship? Like, you know, publicly they might, hey, we're in. You know, I'm not saying they're not spending their revenue share, but are they in at the level of they're trying to win the last game of the season? I don't know. Maybe six or eight team in hoops, maybe six or eight teams in football, maybe. I feel like there's like 12 in baseball, you know? And so with that being said, like, you look at the pieces that Ole Miss has and you know the experience they bring back on the mound, specifically with Hunter Elliott coming back to college baseball. I mean, I don't know what Hunter Elliott's making, but there's probably an argument that he's the highest paid player in college baseball, and with good reason. I mean, the guy's track record's insane, and he's essentially a triple-A pitcher pitching in college baseball. Judd Uedemark is back. I'm sorry. I misread my notes here. He is back. So you do bring back that. Forgive me. They did lose Sanford, though. And so you look at Uedemark back, and you look at Hunter Elliott back, and then Austin Fawley and all the impact he made. And, you know, I kind of love Dom Decker they got from Murray State, like just a grinder who you know is going to get on base and hit for a high average. And I think Hayden Federico is going to make a big jump. So there's some pieces there I really like. Here's the problem, Brian. It's kind of like two things can be true. Like, they can be just as talented and maybe even better than last year and still not get to Omaha because, man, the competition – or maybe even potentially have a worse record, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Because just the schedule and when you play people and how healthy you stay and the margins are so slim in the league. But you do – I look at Ole Miss's roster and say, okay, this is a top 20 roster. It was a top 20 team last year. And they certainly look like they have invested at a level that will put them back in the conversation. And, you know, getting to Mississippi State, like, goodness. I mean, Mississippi State, you know, it wouldn't shock me if at some point Mississippi State's – I think they're definitely going to be a top 10 team preseason. I think some people like them, you know, on the edges of the top five, and with good reason. I mean, you look at the investment that they've put into, the players they return, the you know, just Noah Sullivan and Ace Reese alone, you're like, golly, these are extremely physical players. I think Aiden Teal's going to make a huge jump. And, you know, so you look at the pieces that Brian O'Connor brought with him. And then, of course, we know the fireballer whose name is escaping me, who's the left-hander they got out of the draft.
Bauer, Jack Bauer.
Yeah, Jack Bauer. Like Jack Bauer, like he is going to be worth the price of admission every time they give him the ball. I'm fascinated where he fits in, and I think the great thing is they have so many pieces that they like in front of him that I don't think it's like, okay, if Jack Bauer turns into, let's just say, Dylan Volantis from last year from Texas, then Mississippi State hits their ceiling. I think a little bit like we've seen from some of these famous pitchers from LSU that show up on campus. Like, I think what they get from Jack Bauer will be a bonus more so than they have to have him be elite for them to reach their ceiling. But you look at McPherson and Valencis and Foster and Stone, like they've got plenty of pieces that I think they Pitzer from South Carolina that, you know, again, not great numbers, but a kid that brings with him
summer too.
Yeah. Had a great summer. A kid that brings with him some experience. So I think they didn't go get Brian O'Connor, and Brian O'Connor didn't leave what he built to be okay. Like, this is an all-in play for Mississippi State. And like I said, no disrespect to Mississippi State in the other two major men's sports, but I'm not certain they're trying to win the national championship in those two sports. They are definitely trying to win the whole thing in baseball. And so I am fired up for Mississippi State baseball because we all know that the sport is better when Mississippi State is elite.
So let me ask you this, though, and I've had about four or five national guys on, and they've all pumped up Mississippi State like that. Where are your concerns with this team? Where do you look at Mississippi State and go, well, that might be a problem, or I don't know about that guy?
Well, I still think, you know, I think one of the problems that has existed over the last few years with Mississippi State is their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, I wouldn't call them overly athletic, and they haven't played great catch. And, again, in a league where the margins are so slim, I mean, Brian, you cover them. How many games have they lost in the last two seasons defensively?
A few. We'll just say a few.
I mean, let's go back to the Virginia Regional 2 years ago. I mean, goodness. I'm sure that one still stings. So, this roster, to me, is going to have to prove that they can play – defense, I don't know that as offensive as they are, I don't know that they got to be one of the top 10 defenses in the country, but they got to play defense at a higher level. And again, they've brought in and bring back some experience, but, you know, I don't know that any of the experiences was, you know, probably Valencius is the most experienced dude that has a real track record that you love. Certainly McPherson, everybody's excited about, but like, there's still plenty of question marks on the mound.
We'll see how it all pans out. Chris, really appreciate your time today, my friend, and I'll try to have you back on during the season for sure. Chris Burke, SEC Network, the podcast he's referencing, that's the D1 Baseball Podcast with him and Mike Rooney. I would imagine most Mississippi State fans, being the baseball diehards that they are already listening to you. But if you're not, definitely check it out. Chris, man, appreciate your time today.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.